All right, good singing all the way around. Did I point out that it's good to have Jesse? We're glad Jesse's back. Jesse Cook. Sometimes I forget what his name is, so I call him Jesse James. Have you seen Cole Younger lately? No, that's a different bunch, see. Take your Bible, if you will. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. I'm going to preach tonight on whorehouses in Texas. If you duck out, I'm going to think you're a coward and that you're... Yeah. I'm going to think you're a roadrunner. All right, take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. We're going to look at about verse number 14. It is good to be able to know how I feel and to know that I've been saved by the grace of God. You're here this morning. You know what it's like to be saved. If you don't, boy, it'd be good if you'd listen, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. Make no mistake about it, God's in the saving business. That's why he's not yet come for us. But if he comes for us, I guarantee you I'm leaving. I'm going to be raptured out with him. If you're not saved, though, you won't be. Maybe God is tugging at your heartstring. We hope so, and if not, we do hope that it'll happen before that the trumpet sounds and the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, look if you're able to, you can stand. And notice if you will please, is that in verse number 10. We'll take reading there. But thou hast fully known by doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lustra, persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom that thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and truly furnished unto all good works. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon these men and women and boys and girls that have gathered here. I pray you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. Thank you, Lord, for loving us even while we were unlovable. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, and be seated. I will preach a little while that if I might, and I'm using for a text verse as we look down there. As we look there in the passages in verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. I want to say to you that, if you will, that make no mistake about it, that it's good to be saved and to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. And it ought to be something that you and I have learned sitting at our mama or sitting at our daddy's feet. We ought to have had them bringing us to the house of God. I want to preach a little while on a subject entitled this. I want to preach on Grandma, Mama, and me. I begin to think about, when you begin to look into this lesson, it's there. There's a lot of young mamas that are here, and there's a lot of older mamas that are here. Do you realize, though, that one of these days, while you're sitting here as a young mother, I'm going to look out across there, if I'm still alive, and you're going to be an old mama. And as a result of that, you know, you're going to find out is that things will always be the same with you and God and so forth and on. But let me tell you right now is that your children, if they're not, they ought to be tired of you having to get on to them. Somebody said, well, Mama's always trying to get me to go to church. Well, God bless her, and you ought to be thankful and you ought to be glad that somebody somewhere cares about your soul's condition. I'll tell you, every young man, every young lady needs a mom and a daddy that loves God and the Bible. They don't always have, but boy, it's good that somebody will take up the harness and be able to carry the message and to be able to carry that burden. in the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out we ought to learn how that we live in an evil world. We read that in verse 13. Evil men and seducers are waxed worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, here's what you're going to have to do is, Mama. You're going to have to stay on track and stay with the truth of God. And if you'll do that, I guarantee you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You know, building childhood memories in the Lord is something that moms ought to do just because they gave birth. Let me say to you that, if you will, is that mamas who give birth and they take children, and every child here, somebody's given birth. And let me say to you that, if you will, that if you've given birth, you ought to give them Bible to be able to snatch them as a brand from the burning. I can't tell you in all these years that I've been in the ministry how many boys and girls that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, that have never been disturbed about their soul's condition, that have never had the finger of hope pointed toward heaven and applied unto them, you see. I got to tell you right now is that it's good to be able to be saved by the grace of God and to have somebody to bring you to the house of the Lord. You know, in the Holy Scriptures, the Bible said it ought to be in your home. And not only that, then it ought to finally move over and get down in your heart. And as a result of that, I'm talking about is that things that are holiness unto God. That's what we ought to be able to have. There's a lot of trash and a lot of filth that we have that are coming from the television, the radio, from our family, from our friends, and from kids. And let me tell you right now, make no mistake about it, is that if you take two children and you put one of them that's a God-cussing heathen with one that loves God in the Bible, this one that loves God in the Bible will not rub off on that heathen, but that heathen will rub off on that godly child. Evil communications will corrupt good manners. You know why, don't you? I'll tell you why. There's too many whorehouses in Texas. That's tonight's message, by the way. Oh, I know you'd like to get me stirred up right now, wouldn't you? But no, no, no. You might want to wear waders instead of them nice shiny boots tonight. I was sitting back there looking, Brother Bill, I'm glad to see these guys with these new boots on. And I thought, man, I'm going to have to give me some sunshades if they keep putting these new boots on. It's got me where I'm going to want to go find me a new pair of boots. What brand is them, by the way? You don't know? J.B. what? J.B. Well, J.B. Well ain't the name of a boot. No, I'm just messing with you. I don't even know that name, but that's good. They're nice looking boots, both of you. In this lesson that we're looking at, I want to say to you that the Scripture is the only thing that will prepare a child in this life. I got to say to you that, if you will, is that when you hear the word of the Lord, it prepares you not only for this life and for living, but it prepares you to be able to leave this world one of these days with the Lord Jesus Christ. When the trump of God shall sound and the Lord shall descend from heaven with the shout and the voice of the archangel, and when the dead in Christ shall rise again, if you're a child of God, you're going with us. But if you're not a child of God, what a sad day and what a sad commentary that it'll be, that the word would have prepared your heart, but you didn't want it, or you didn't receive it, or nobody saw fit to be able to bring you to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say to you that we ought to leave our children equipped with the Word of God. We ought to preach and saturate their heart and their mind with the Word of God, where some of it finally sinks in through that hard head and then down into their heart. You know, I've been doing this for a long time. And I've been preaching right here in this place now for, 31 years. And I can promise you right now there are people that I preach to that sometime would sit on the edge of their seat, and then whenever they finally fizzled out, now they go nowhere. They act like they've never heard the Word of God one time in their life. Now, that's the kind of world that we're living in. You know why? They've got other places they want to go, other people that they want to see, other things that they want to be involved in and things they want to do. Do you know that when you begin to look into this lesson that's here, is that when you leave this world, you ought to leave this world with somebody that's dear to your heart and they are equipped with the Word of God because of your influence. You know, the Word of God never changes. Now, the world changes. I'm talking about every time it makes any kind of move, that all the world changes. But the Word of God will always be the same. Make no mistake about it. I'll tell you what it does is, it makes a girl and molds a girl to being a lady and to being a woman. It takes a young lad and molds that boy into becoming a man. I got to tell you right now, that's what the Word of God will do for you. I was thinking about in the lesson that we're looking at, and we've got some good godly young men and godly men and women in our church. And I'm talking about that have been faithful to God and stayed by the stuff all these years. And as a result of that, you'll find that God will use that influence to be able to open your eyes and understanding and to be able to help somebody along the way to come to know Jesus in the free pardon of sin. You know, in this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out the reason why we've got so many sissy men. Would you like to know? You know the reason why we've got so many sissy men and so many masculine women? Well, the preachers have quit preaching a long time ago. I tell you right now is, you know, every time I get one of them together and God rips me with it before he does anybody else, but every time that I begin to look into it, let me tell you, is that I want it to be real deep down in my heart, real deep down in my soul, real lived out in my life so that I can be an influence to others up and down the road of life. In this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find is that the reason we've got so many sissy men and masculine women is that I can't tell you how many men that I ever talked to about this or that in life. Well, you know, I'm going to have to talk it over with my wife first. All I asked you was, what do you believe about John 3:16? You're going to have to ask your wife that? Well, you know, sometimes she's not in a good mood. Well, she may not be, but John 3:16 always is. For God so loved the world. See? You're afraid. Now, I realize and know that if you're simply being a horse's behind, I didn't get no amen on that, did I? Yeah, I realize and know that if you're being a horse's behind, they may not want to listen to you. But I got to say to you that, if you will, is that when we leave this world, we ought to have prepared somebody somewhere up and down the road of life to be able to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. We're not just trying to appeal to people's emotion. We're not just trying to make up things as we go along. We're trying to look chapter, book, and verse and what thus saith the Lord, and that'll last forever throughout eternity. Now, in this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out that whenever we start appealing to men's wallets, you'll have to leave the word of the Lord when you do that. As a result of that, you're going to find out is that, notice in chapter 4 and verse number 10, in chapter 4, verse 10, here's the Apostle Paul, and here's what he says. He's about ready to leave this world, by the way. He says that he's fought a good fight and he's kept the faith. And then he goes on and he makes the statement in verse 10 about a fellow by the name of Demas. And a sad commentary, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. That's sad right there. You know, if you read over there in Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 14, Demas was counted as one of the fellow laborers. If you read Philemon verse 24, Demas was one of those, that buddy that's named with those that were doing the work of God and caring about. Now, here's a sad commentary. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. I can say to you that, if you will, that in the day and hour that we're living in, you're going to find out is that what this whole lesson teaches is right here. The same word that saved my grandma was able to save my mama, was able to save me, was able to save you. I'm not just talking about going through a little religious motion. I'm talking about getting washed by the blood, born into the family of God, having unfeigned faith for the brethren, for the church of the living God. You know where the average Baptist is? Well, the average Baptist doesn't come to get in. They come to get out. I got to say to you that, make no mistake about it, that every now and again we hit a high point and a low point and this and that. But somehow or another, there ought to be a happy medium to where we're consistent with God and we thank God for his goodness and his mercy. And that somehow or another, that we might recognize what God's done for us and what he's doing. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, the Bible says is what a Christian here ought to learn by responding to the word of the Lord. They ought to learn something about a solid preacher. Every now and again, I listen to an old boy preach, you know, up and down the road. Sometimes it's on tape, and sometimes it's a CD, or sometimes, you know, I may get to visit. I would to God that every time we visited another church, they could hear the unadulterated word of the Lord, but it's just not that way. I would to God every time that you visited up at church, solid preachers, what you could hear, and a good, solid message, but that's not the way that it is. The way it is in the day and hour that we're living in, instead of a solid preacher, it's a soft one. And I got to tell you right now, I remember I've gone and preached a time or two and days gone by somewhere at a place, and they'd say, be gentle with them, preacher, if you don't mind. Be gentle with them. They're tender skin. That ought not ever be so. Isn't that something? Some of them, I've had preachers come to this pulpit and ask to say, now, you know, I want to try to do whatever's customary. I say, preach the word of the Lord. If it's in the Bible, you can preach anything you want to from the Bible, and make no mistake about it, they'll stay right in there with you. Of course, you know, in days gone by, when I say that, I'm trying to assume that everybody will. I didn't know that every now and again we had people that wanted to scream bloody murder and take off running and hiding. But that's all right, honey. You ought to be able to learn when you come to the house of God about solid preaching and a solid message that'll talk to you about the Savior. Over there in the book of Hebrews, don't turn there, in chapter number 10, about verse number 7, the Bible said, in the volume of the book it's written of me to do thy will, O God. Let me tell you, it's always been the will of God for the Lord Jesus Christ to be obedient unto him. Here's what he said over in Psalm chapter number 57. He said, only Christ can fix your heart. And he said, my heart is fixed. That's the reason I'm going to sing praise, and I'm going to give praise unto God. This Bible said that in Psalm chapter number 112, verse 7, even though there be evil tidings out there in the world, I'm not going to let it shake me. My heart's been fixed. Now, I'm going to tell you right now is you're going to find out there's going to come a day and an hour at a time that when people are going to die without the Lord. I hope that's not one of you. I hope you don't die without the Lord. But when you die, that you're in the Lord already. And let me tell you, for those who die without the Lord, it's like the rich man who died without God. And the Bible said there's a great gulf fixed. See, he died unfixed. There's a great gulf fixed to where you could not get to one from the other. And as a result of that, he was going to die without the Lord. And he did. And he lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torments, plural. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, we'd like to make you wise unto salvation if you've not been made that way already. Now, there's a passage in closing that we're going to be looking at. It's over in the book of Proverbs. It's in chapter 23. In the book of Proverbs, in chapter number 23. Now, the Bible says there in this passage there, about verse 22, for a whore is a deep ditch. By the way, that's a Bible word, in case you'd be surprised how many people I've had gasp at that and gasp at me and all of that business there. They want to call it something else, like maybe, I don't know, soften it up a little bit, maybe a house of ill repute. That's what a whorehouse is. Well, they're talking about, but see, your parents, your mama, your daddy, they ought to be talking about and warning you there's a whore out there that's after you. And she's a deep ditch and a strange woman of a narrow pit. She's lying in wait for you, in verse 28. In verse 29, who hath woe and who hath sorrow and who hath contentions and hath babblings and hath wounds without cause and who hath a redness of eyes? Well, it's going to tell you who does. They that tarry long at the wine and they that seek mixed wine. You know what God said about liquor and about that? Look in verse 31. Look not thou upon wine when it's red, when it giveth the color in the cup, when it moveth itself awry, and at last it biteth like a serpent, and it stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Thou shalt be as he that lieth down on the in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. And when shall I awake? I will seek it again. I want to say to you that if you will, please, is that we ought to, as old mothers and old daddies, we ought to be teaching our children about the Lord Jesus Christ, about the dangers of whoredom, about the dangers of wounds that we'll get in a sinful life, about the dangers of wine drinking, alcohol drinking, liquor drinking, about the pull of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Here's what I'll notice, and I don't have time to deal with this subject tonight or this morning or whatever day it is, but let me tell you something about music. Do you know the reason why there's so much bad music in the world? Because it's influenced by satanic means. That's the reason why it's that way. Now, let me just tell you what happens is that here's music. Kill your mama, rape your sister, dope your brother, whatever it is they're doing. And all that long hair, demonic, and all of that same sex music that goes on in the world that we're living in. You know the reason why that it has such an impact? Music's the very one thing you don't have to listen to with your ear to hear the beat of. It just automatically gets in. That's why when you're driving down the road, you don't realize while you're beating on the steering wheel that you're jamming along with whatever's being played, because it doesn't have to go through the thought process. It just automatically appeals to that flesh. That's a something, isn't it? I remember studying that 40 years ago. I got to say to you that if you will, while you sit here and while you're thinking about is that you can be the most proficient, efficient Bible reader, Bible believer, but if you go to running with the wrong crowd, it won't be long. You'll think like them, you'll act like them, you'll go where they're going, you'll do what they're doing, and have no regard for God and the Bible, good, right, moral, and decent. As we get ready to close, let me say to you, we ought not to be defenders of sin, but we ought to be able to run from it. Ask God to forgive us where we have failed Him. Ask God to strengthen us in the inner man. I went to a lady's house one time, and she just lived next door. We called her Mammy. Her name was Dessie Gentry. I went this particular time. She sat in her chair. She was just weeping uncontrollably. And I said, Mammy, what's the matter? That's why we called her Mammy. Mammy, what's the matter with this going on? Oh, son, she said, you'll understand one of these days when you have children of your own. And I thought to myself whenever she said that, and of course she had a son that was all drunken and finally ended up on TV being shot by some of his fellow colleagues. But here's a man that his mama was weeping uncontrollably and just brokenhearted. You know what, in my mind, when God let me see that before I ever even got saved, I thought to myself, I never want to hurt my mama like that. I never want to see my mama cry over me like that. I had a brother-in-law that my mother-in-law, when I walked in, what's going on, Ma? And she said, well, you know, I had such hope that my son-in-law, and we'll call him Alton because that was his name. Alton was the kind of man that liked to drink. And boy, let me tell you right now, is he could go three or four, sometimes 6 months at a time without touching a drop. But when he did start back, buddy, he would start back and be twice as bad as he was before he claimed to have quit. And I seen that saddened look on my mother-in-law's face. I said, what's going on there, Ma? Nothing. I just had high hopes at this time that Alton would be fixed in this matter. Now, I don't want to bog down you down with it. You can check it out yourself. But you know, alcoholism, drunkenness, if you please, it's a disease that's sinful and starts with sin, but it gets in the bloodstream. And what happens is that when a person quits, this disease or sin of progression, just because a person quits drinking liquor, it doesn't stop liquor from progressing in that system once it gets in it. And as a result of that, whenever a person that's been off of it 3 months, 6 months, a year, it doesn't matter, they take one drink, and then the next drink has got them. And they don't stop and start back where they left off. They start back drinking where they would have been drinking had they had never tried to quit. That's the reason why it's such a dangerous thing. That's the reason why it's such a godless and such a wicked thing. I got to say in closing that, if you will, we live in a drunken nation. And buddy, we've got the drunks to prove it. But if you're not careful, you'll go to trying to figure out a way because they're kind, or because they're gifted, or because they're buying you stuff, to be overlooking all their sin. And if you're not careful, you'll end up one of these days in a whorehouse in Texas. That's part of a sermon for tonight. I wonder, as we're sitting here and we're getting ready to leave, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ there, you young men? Do you know him? You young ladies, do you know him in the free pardon of sin? Are you sick and tired of just not knowing? I want something different. I want to be real with God. I want to serve him with all of my heart, soul, and mind. If that's your desire, I hope you'll join us down here at this old-fashioned altar as we get ready to pray and have our song directors come. Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and we thank you for loving us. There may be a boy, a girl, a man, a woman to say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I know I'm not saved, but I'm going to be saved before this service is over. I'm ready to come to know him in the free pardon of sin." Maybe you're here and say, "Preacher, I'm saved. I know I am, but I've got some family members that are not saved." It may be your mama, your daddy, your sister, your brother, your aunt, your uncle, or a colleague at school or work. Our Father, we ask your blessings now that you'd finish the message in every heart. We'll thank you, Lord, for loving us even while we've been unlovable. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. What number is it?
Page number 350.